Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Amen. Let every heart say amen. 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 As our beautiful children are headed to their awesome ministry, let us also prepare our hearts and minds. There's nothing like the absolute presence of an almighty God. The songwriter said, I searched all over. I couldn't find nobody greater than Jesus. I don't care how far you can go. Listen, maybe you're here today. I'm just going to take my time and do this. Where God is calling this body of believers, and I believe this with all my heart, where God is calling us collectively, it's in a place where he's calling us to really serve this community. I'm going to take my time today because the word is going to come forth. What sense does it make for us to hear something that tickle our ears, that make us feel better, but it doesn't transform something in our hearts? What sense does it make to hear some of the things that we've been hearing over and over again, and it has not been something that we've been willing to yield to do? The Bible says to all of us that we would rather be a doer of the word of God and not just a hearer. Because if we're just hearing the word of God and that's all we're doing, when the storms of life coming, and they're coming, and listen, maybe you hear and you're in a storm, coming out of a storm, or headed for one. So this word is for everybody. And the word is that when we hear the word of God, to hear is to listen. To listen is to obey. It's not just this audible sound of something that sounds familiar. As we listen, Hope Elim, I believe with all my heart that there is something transformative that is happening in this community. And I'm not just talking about in and around Drake. I'm talking about throughout this city. I'm talking about throughout this world. So wherever you live, whatever your circumstance, no matter how long you've been dealing with, whatever you're dealing with, I stop by to tell you that we serve a God who can overcome everything, that we are victorious because of Christ Jesus. So maybe you're here today and you've been holding on, you've been saying that same prayer. I'm saying keep believing in the one who woke you up this morning. The one who gave you strength in your body, the one who allowed you to come here and sit in that place. That's the one that we put our confidence in. Not in man, not in circumstance. God be praised. Let's go. If you're here this morning, you're sick and tired of the devil. You're sick and tired of, and you say enough is enough. Can you put your hands together in expectation for what God is going to do? At some point, as the people of God, we've got to walk in authority. We are part of the kingdom of God, and he is the king, and this is his domain. And as a child of God, we're called to walk in authority and dominion. Not as if we're better than anybody else, but with authority that we have to speak truth to power. We've got to be able to call things that are not as if they were. We can't rely on the things that we see to determine who we are or where we're going. By faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's my intro. Are we ready? Amen. Let us pray. God, we are humble before you. God, we just don't want to stay the same. We don't want to, God, come all the way out here, find a parking spot, go through all that we go through, God, and just leave the same way. Thank you, God, that it's not about me. Thank you, God, that these are your people. God, we belong to you, and you are our champion. God, we are victorious because of you. not because of what we've done or what we can do, God, but it's because of what we believe. And God, if you just have your way, God, that you would hit your target this morning. That whoever came in this place with walls built up, God, that you would tear them down. God, whoever's on the edge, God, that you would scoop them up. God, whoever's in pain and hurting, God, is in distress, that you would bring healing and deliverance. God, whoever's here, God, who's got to make a major, major decision, that you would give discernment right now. God, that they would ask for wisdom and you would speak. You would give them an unction in their spirit. God, that you would let them know that no matter what, God, if they follow you, everything is going to be all right. God, I pray for the one who's here who has not even heard of the diagnosis yet, don't even know what's coming. And their world's going to be rocked right now, God. I pray, Lord, that you would sit with them. You would dwell with them. That you would be that Shekinah glory, the one that hovers and the one that dwells and is close to your people. And I pray, God, at the end of the day, that you get all the glory. God, this is your house, and we belong to you. The preaching of the gospel is to some foolishness, but unto those who are saved, it's the power of God. Reign over and take over. In Jesus' name. Let your heart say amen. Amen. So we're wrapping up, but we're not, but we're wrapping up the series of There's No Party Like a Jesus Party, because it's Jesus Party, don't. Come on. There's no party like a Holy Ghost Party, because a Holy Ghost Party, don't. So we can't wrap it up if it don't stop. Can't stop. Can't stop. So then we can't wrap up this party. So what it says to me is that we got to be ready for an after party. Wait. Maybe you're here and you don't know what an after party is. Now, I'm going to go way back. I'm going back. I just want y'all to know your pastor is going back. When I was growing up in Louisiana and, senior in high school, some of the parties in college, it was a main event. And after the main event, you know, it had a time limit. And after some point, after the main event, after the original party, there was an after. Somebody know what I'm talking about. There was an after party. Okay, so let me get where I'm going. The ultimate after party, an invitation to eternal life. Party won't stop. When we say yes to Jesus, we say yes in our spirits and in our hearts, we're not waiting to go to the party in heaven. The party starts right now. There's a party right now because Jesus is alive in us, that he is heaven on earth. And so our lives are the main event, but when this life is over, there's still an after party. So I just thought, hey, John 3:16, we're familiar, but let's take another look. An after party is the main event. Maybe you're here and you're not interested in eternal life because the life you're living right now is not something you are excited about. Maybe you're not as enthused about eternal life because you feel like what you're going through right now is just not fair. But I stopped by to tell somebody the eternal life that we're talking about, there's no more sorrow, there's no more pain, there's no more worry, that this frail, corruptible body will put on incorruption. This mortal body will put on immortality. But right here, right now, God has given us the Holy Spirit to embolden us that we can walk in authority, that we can speak those things that are not as if they were. So after the main event, in a general house party, sometimes back in high school, back in college, you had to hear, it was exclusive. Not everybody can just show up because most times it's at somebody's house. And most times in high school, the house that it was at, the parents wasn't there. So it was exclusive. Not everybody can just show up and wreck people's house, okay? There was a select groups that would show up at the after party. You had to be in the in crowd. You had to be somebody. You had to at least think you were somebody. Because if you just showed up, they're going to check you at the door. It was only invited guests in the after party. But Holy Elam, can I tell you right here, right now, that who we're talking about in God's kingdom? Everybody's invited. Everybody's invited. You mean the person who's an addict? Yes, that person is invited. You mean the person who used to be a racist and a whoremonger and all that, and they had a heart change? Yes, they are invited. You mean to tell me the person who with the black skin, white skin, the Republican and Democrat and all the in-between, are they invited to this? Yes, if they're a believer in an almighty God, the one who belongs, who the party is hosting the party, yes, they are invited to the after party. So free yourself up. Amen? You are invited. So let's push it, though. The greatest after party is eternal life. And it's freely offered to everyone who believes. Sometimes you could hear a lot of things and you just don't remember what you heard because it was a lot of stuff. Can you just hear this morning if you're sitting under the sound of my voice? What you believe will determine what you receive. The crux of John 3:16. It's not all the giftings that he gave us. It's not what he sent to us. It's whether we believe it. And if we believe it, it ought to do something with the way we live our lives. That will determine the after party. And so for all of us, the purpose, the entire purpose, you've heard me say this 2 weeks ago, if you were here, the entire purpose of John, the Gospel of John, all the miracles, all of the signs and the wonders, all of it was done so that we might believe. All of it. That's some dedication. So the disciples saw Jesus. This is in John 20, 30, and 31. The purpose of the book. The disciples saw Jesus do many other, the ones that are not even written in John. They saw him do a lot. But all they saw, many signs and miracles, he says, in addition to ones recorded in the book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Let that sink in. That Jesus is the one who came to take away our sins. That Jesus, I'm talking about the full gospel and the good news, that because of Jesus, we don't have to accept the wages of sin, which is death. Because of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, it washes off, it purifies. It says to us that we have to believe that the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. We're talking about eternal life. When we believe, we're depending on it. We're not living life independent of our belief. We can say that we believe. We can say that I trust him. We can say it, but what are we doing in terms of every decision? You're talking about being a fanatic. Maybe we need to be a fanatic. Me mess around, I gotta pray about everything. You mean to tell me I gotta consult God for everything? Well, if you're not walking in the light, it's a good chance you're walking in darkness. So I'm saying for all of us, when we believe something, we accept it as true. Like we really say that it is what it is. I thought I might preach that one day. It is what it is. But it's confusing. It hits us where we are because some things we can't do anything about. But when we say it is what it is, it has to do with your belief. Do we accept the truth about who Jesus is? Because there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of different things that people want you to believe and put your trust in. But when we believe that Jesus, he came from on high, that the God became a God-man, fully God, fully human, and that he died and he rose again, and now he sent back an advocate, a comforter, to dwell inside of us. I'm saying, what do you believe about your God? Because that ought to move us in the way we live our lives. I said I was going to take my time. Who are you putting your confidence in this morning? What are you convinced of? Maybe you're here. If you're here and you are just coming into the faith, you're just rounding the corner, something got a hold of you and you've been coming, you've been seeking, you've been searching, you've been hungry, thirsting after, I want more of who this Jesus is, and you're just coming around the corner. Can I say that that is a sweet time? Because sometimes when all the zeal is there, when it's fresh and you just came, man, you want it all. Then after life starts to beat down a little bit, you start to be like, whoa, all the misconceptions. Sometimes we think when we come to the faith that all of our trouble go away, that all of our trials, they go by the side. Man, Jesus is a champion. All of the things that we was worried about, we think we don't have any worry anymore. And what I'm saying is, no, he comes and he sits with us. And where we couldn't do something by ourselves, he walks with us and he opens door. He allows us to hear from him. He gives us hope in the midst of all the situations we have to deal with. And at the end of the day, we begin to grow and walk a little bit stronger. And we realize he is who he says he is. And it is what it is. Okay. Well, with all the belief, this life is filled with burdens. So you know how easy it would be if all we had to do was say, just believe, and everything else is just going to open up to us. We can party. I was going to say until it was 1999, but we way past that. Some of you won't even know what I'm talking about. Well, here's the thing. We could party like it's our birthday. Anybody's birthday today? Listen. Maybe before we leave, it'll be your birthday. It'll be your spiritual birthday. Maybe you're here today and you don't know if you're invited to the after party before we leave, that there's something that would overcome you, that you would say, excuse me. And you make your way down and you open up your heart and say, God, I don't know what tomorrow gonna bring, but as for right now, this is my birthday. And I'm gonna celebrate you, God. Burdens. In all of our belief, we keep it, we hold on to it, but our burdens, they're heavy. The cross, it says, pick up your cross and follow after me. If they persecuted Jesus, guess what? We got to go through it. Think it not strange, the fiery darts that try you as if some strange thing is happening unto you. No, we're going to go through it. Sometimes it's not only an overwhelming sense, but it's overload. We ask the question, why do I have to continue to go through what I'm going through? We look to the left and we look to the right, and it looks like they're on the easy street, and we have no idea what they're dealing with. The overload, I stop by to tell somebody that God won't put more on you than you're able to bear. That even with the temptation, he'll make a way for you to escape. That even when it feels overloaded, anybody feeling like they've got some overload, the burdens are heavy this morning? You're waving at me, but I'm saying you wave at him. And if you're here and you're feeling burdened and heavy laden, can I help you with scripture? Matthew 11, 28, 29. Not to hope, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burden. Let me give you rest. He said, connect with me, yoke with me, tether, come and get connected. Because what you're going to find, if we're moving in this thing together, he says that my yoke is easy and my burdens, they're lighter. Sometimes we can't party like we want to party because we're carrying around all the burdens and we're just dragging it around. He says, give it to me. Bring it to me. Stress and trouble and brokenness. Okay, let's go. God's love. You want to know where the invitation is for this after party? It's God's love. God loves us right now, this very minute, in the midst of our burdens, in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our bitterness, in the midst of all the stuff, he loves us right now more than he can ever love us. So if you're waiting to go get it all together so that we can come to the accept the invitation, it's our hearts. It's what we believe about God's love says that he loves us so much that he gave us everything that we need. All we need is all we got, but all we got is what we need if we have Jesus. He says that he gave us his one and only son. The one who was in heaven, came down, dwelt among men, took on a ransom for all of our sins, purified anybody who might come unto him by the blood of the Lamb. He went back to the Father. I was at a funeral yesterday. Funeral yesterday. And funerals, me and one of my friends, one of my brothers, hadn't seen him in a while. We just happened to hug Pastor Moses Ward in Ames. And we happened to walk up at the same time. And we looked at Desi. And I, Holy Spirit, just said, I whispered to Moses. I said, Moses, I said, we've been talking about connecting for a while. I said, we have no idea what tomorrow's gonna hold, man. I said, man, I love you. I said, I just desire to spend more time with you. And we left Desi and went and pull out our phones and we exchanged and we set a date. That's important because of what I want to share now. Sometimes we are moved in the moment. We believe, but our beliefs should drive us to do something different than what we've been doing. Okay? And it could be that right now you're saying, after church, I'm going to send that note to say I forgive you. It could be that right now you're saying, well, after this, I'm going to call. And then soon as life hits and the wind hits your face and the burdens are remembered, sometimes all of the well-to-do goes by the wayside. And it's weeks, months, years before we do the thing that we know God wants us to do. All right, God's love, the invitation, is for everybody. Hope Elam, if it's good enough for us, it's good enough for everybody. You mean the black guy and the white guy, the politicians, all the stuff. You mean the addict and this and that? Everybody. You mean the one who came from that place and the one who came from that place? Everybody. God so loved the world, he gave his own and only son that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but they can go to the after party. I don't know what else to say. I got 18 more slides. I just want to stay right here. I see you. I just want to stay right here because if we miss this, the rest don't matter. I'll go quickly or I'll time it out. We'll come back next time. Sometimes our burdens are there to help us to believe. Paul says that I had this thorn in my flesh and I prayed about it many times, but I had to deal with it because it is what it is. The woman at the well, she was just going trying to get some water. And she came across the Messiah. She encountered the living water. She owned up to her lifestyle after she was given the truth. But the woman at the well, you know what she did? Hope you let me know what she did. She went back home and she told everybody, come and see a man who told me all that I've done. If she didn't believe everything that Jesus was doing, if she didn't have an experience, if she didn't have an encounter, she might just go to the well, like, yeah, go back, must be a sorcerer or a prophet. No, she went back and told everybody. And then they came. If you read it, they came. They said, we believe, but not just because of what you said. We believe because we experience it ourselves. Some stuff we got to experience ourselves. That's why sometimes we got burdens. Hear me say that if you're going through something hard right now, I'm not saying God is putting it on you, but sometimes there's an allowance. There's a boundary that he allows for. Sometimes it's just us making bad decisions. Can we all, if you're here today, can we just wave? You don't have to say anything. Wave your bad decision. Can you wave your bad decision? Come on, come on. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's us. It's not God. He don't want us to go through some sort of stuff we're going through. So by waving, I'm saying, God, take it. Please take it, take it, take it. Can we get this point that sometimes there's burdens to blessings? Can we get that point? I'll go through all of this another time. All right. Sydney McLaughlin. Who knows who Sydney McLaughlin is? Not you, Natasha. Sydney McLaughlin, gold medalist, world record holder, hurler, 400 meter hurler. She said this, I don't deserve anything, but by grace through faith, Jesus has given me everything. I don't know who that's for. That's probably for me. Maybe, like we know that we're not as cool as we think we are. We know that we're not sometimes what people think they see from the outside. Like, we know our stuff. And if we're honest, we don't deserve some of the stuff we got. Now, we don't deserve some of the things we're going through, perhaps, but some of the things that, come on, if we're honest, if we look in the mirror, and we don't deserve some of the blessings, even if it's peace and joy and love, even if it's just somebody to come along. Do you know how people would give their right and left arm just to have some company, just to have some friends, just to say, somebody say, put their arms around them and say, I'm glad you're here, and I love you. That is so much. I don't deserve the life that I have. I don't deserve Natasha Kaiser Brown. I don't. But God opened that door for a covenant. He wants to do the same thing for you. She don't deserve me either, by the way. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, all right? God's love is given freely. It's a gift. Self-sacrifice and offering. We're talking about God's love. It's redemptive. That's why we want to believe it. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. He was sent to save, not to shame. Sometimes the reason why we don't believe it, because we know that there is judgment, yes. There is correction, yes. We know that's a part of it. But his whole purpose was coming to save, to rescue, to redeem, to restore, to bring us back. That's why he sent his son, not to shame us into guilt. You know what shames us into the feeling of guilt and conviction? The law. The law shows us our sin. And the law did its job for as long as it could. But the law was abolished when Jesus came. He didn't come to abolish the law. Let me correct that. He fulfilled the law. So whatever shame you're feeling this morning, whatever situation you think, I got to go get it right before I can go to the after party. No, no, no. What has to happen is there needs to be some heart surgery. Then there's something on the inside that we got to say, okay, I yield it unto you, God. Okay, God, here's where I've been for a long time, and I keep kind of hiding in this dark place. If we can get to the darkness, we keep hiding it. Because when we come here, we're under the light. When we come here, when we come before others, we're shining our light. And God says, shine our light brightly because of how we live our lives, but giving honor unto the Father. So he didn't come, his purpose is not to shame us. We're ashamed because of our own fleshly nature and stuff that we're choosing to do. Can I just say it? I'm gonna move on. Sometimes we know better, and when we know better, we ought to do better. And we've been knowing better for a long time, but continually, because in our flesh is no good thing. There's darkness in our flesh. And so we would rather reach beyond the grace and the mercy and get that temporary satisfaction. And that's what keeps us separated. That's not God. That's humanity. When there is a shifting in our spirit, we do that far, far less. Matter of fact, when there's a shifting in our spirit, we don't do it no more. The woman who was caught in adultery, she had deserved to be stoned. But all her accusers, all of them, Jesus said, not even picking up his head, writing on the ground, he said, he who without sin, throw the first stone. Go on, throw it. Go ahead. And one by one, they dropped their stones. And after they dropped their stones, Jesus told this woman caught in the act. She said, where are your accusers? Where are those who are come to shame you and brought you before me and the public? They're gone. He said, go, and you know the story. Sin no more. And I'm saying to somebody, you think that you got to keep doing what you're doing. And I'm saying by the power of the Holy Spirit that if you are by yourself, if you're isolated, if you're hiding in the darkness, you probably won't get through it. But if you come clean, you come before others, you walk with somebody who's going to give you some accountability, little by little by little, he'll snatch that thing. And you start to live a new life. Real love. We know that real love is what real love is because Jesus gave up his life. So we also ought to give up our lives. Now, all I'm talking about is compassion. We don't need another savior on the scene. We got one. What he wants is our will, our way. Compassion. Somebody right now, Hope Elam, we talk about, let's go be the church. This week, do you want to know how we're going to be the church? Compassion. Father, even now, God, all we want to do is honor you. That's all we want to do, God. Show us. Let it be undeniable. Let us see where you want us to yield our will to your will, that we might show somebody this week compassion. If you believe with that prayer, can you say amen? Amen. The gospel message is a blessing, not a burden. I know Julian did such a great job. Like he says, sometimes the word of God feels restrictive, but it's really for protection. The gospel message is a blessing, not a burden. Is it heavy? Yes. Is it weighty? Yes. The cross is heavy. But when we walk with him, when we understand, we take up our cross and we walk with Jesus and we connect with him, it is a blessing. And I know somebody right here in this place. You've been walking with him maybe for a short time or maybe for a while, and you know that the gospel is a blessing. If it is a blessing, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we got that one. We're almost done. God's light exposes. And that's why, depends on our deeds, depends on what we're doing, that's why we don't want to come to the light. Bible says that Jesus came into the world and he was everything that was created, all life that was created by him. And the life created light that shined on everybody. But then he came into the world and the world received him not because they don't like the light. They love darkness. Listen, you might be here like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I keep doing the same things because our fleshly nature, there's no good thing. And we love the dark. There's something within our fleshly nature that we love darkness. But once we come into the saving knowledge of Jesus, then we don't want to walk in the darkness. We want to walk in the light. Light exposes. 19, the judgment is based on this fact that God's light came into the world. But people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. So I'm saying it is so easy, and it's not, but it is, to hide in the dark. Isn't it amazing sometimes when we sit at a computer and we have that project to do and we just can't get things in line? And it's kind of like scatterbrained, like, man, how can... But a plot, a scheme for darkness, and before you know it, we know exactly how to go. Motivated. And it's at that point, and I've said this before, it's at the thought. It's at the moment the thought enters our mind. If we don't crucify it right then, it's going to become a consideration. If we consider it, we're going to start plotting and scheming. Before we finish the deal, it's going to be a part of our conduct. And then we're going to be in a crisis. But it started with a consideration. Crucify it at the moment of the thought. 2 minutes. Our preference is darkness. Our preference is darkness. If we're going to RSVP for this after party, it's going to have to be in accordance to God's love, not in accordance to us getting ourselves together. We can't get to the after party because there's only one way. It's through Jesus. And there's no way, Hope Elam, there's no way. We could come here all the time. I can come here and preach till I'm blue in the face. But if I'm not walking in the light, I can't go. In fact, it'll be even more harmful. I'm not saying I'm perfect. You know I'm not. I know I'm not. She knows I'm not. But we're made perfect by Jesus. And he extends and answers the RSVP. So I'm saying our preference, but it's his presence. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God has said to do. If it was dark in here and there was a big spotlight and we got to go, there was a big spotlight, it was like, come to the light. Come to the light. So metaphorically, the world is dark. Come to the light. Walk in the light. I'm not going to go through Nicodemus because we don't have time, but check it out. Nicodemus came at dark. He came at night. There was something on the inside that he wanted to know more about, but he didn't want to come in the daytime because of the other Pharisees. So at the end of the day, what he did, he came at night. Jesus didn't. He gave him some truth, but he didn't kick him out. He said, look, Nicodemus, I appreciate you think that I'm that dude, right? I appreciate all that, but unless you're born again, you can't get in. He said, what do you mean born again? Unless there is a spiritual awakening, unless there's something that happens within your spirit. You're born of water. You can't go back into your mother's womb. But unless you're born again, unless there's something happening on the inside, unless you submit and be broken, you can't come. So he says to all of us, no matter when you come, I don't care if you're in pitch black dark, come. Come to the light. The blessing, a demonstration of the blessing is baptism. That's what we're doing today. It's an outward expression that there's been an inward conversion, baptism. That there is a dying to the old self and an awakening to a newness of life. Baptism. It is an agreement of what God said. He said, go ye, teaching everybody to observe all the things that I've said to do, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Baptism is love for God in action. Not because I want it or because it's tradition of any, theological doctrine is what God said. The ultimate after party is where the celebration never ends. More and more funerals I go to, the more and more I realize, don't know the day or the hour. I'm going to keep getting back up. I'm asking you, Hope Elam, not only keep getting back up, let's go spread the good news. Let's go share the gospel message. It's for everybody. All right. He's our champion. He chose us. He's our champion. He gave us his very best. He's our champion. Every battle, he's won. He's our champion. He crowns us with confidence. Stand on your feet. Let's give God praise because he is our champion. Get ready for the after party. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elam, follow us on Instagram at hope.elam or visit our website at hope-elam.org.